So our scripture today is from John chapter 1, verse, John chapter 6, verse 1 to 13. Let's pray before we get into this. Lord, we thank you for your love and care and for your show of grace and mercy in our lives, which you've shown us in big ways and in little ways. We ask you at this time to help us to hear what it is that you want us to hear, to guide our thoughts, our hearts, as we read through this, your scripture. We also pray for your mercy upon the expounding of the word. Those things that I say, may they be used for your glory and yours alone. We thank you for your gracious show of mercy during this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 1 to 13. Hear now God's word. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not be enough bread for each of them to get a single bite. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Now, the NIV says 5,000 men in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up. From the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A cord of 3 strands is not quickly torn apart. Feeding of the 5,000. How many of you are familiar or at least heard this scripture before? Story? I assume all of you, or at the very least, most of you. Feeding the 5,000 is one of those great Sunday school lessons. And teachers, Sunday school teachers, can have great fun with it, you know, with the felt board and the felt figures and the felt fish. You know that we talked about that medium of teaching before. It's just a wonderful story. And if I were to ask a Christian to list 5 miracles of Jesus, I would assume most of the time feeding of the 5,000 would be amongst that 5. So popular, in fact, that the 4 Gospels have this story in each of them. And we've talked about the Gospels and how they're made up before. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic, meaning they're similar to one another. They have similar structure, they got similar stories, they got similar verses. Some of the verses are so similar, the Greek is almost identical between them. So they probably shared a similar source. John, on the other hand, is kind of an outlier. John is odd. He's like the black sheep of the gospel family. He comes from a different point of view, and he has different stories, different teachings. Of course, there's overlap, but John's definitely odd. This is one of the very few, if not the only, miracle of Jesus that can be found in all 4 Gospels, which tends to tell me this is quite important. Listen to this. You ever notice when you're texting to someone, and if you accidentally hit the caps lock and you text the text to them, what's your response to that text? "Why are you yelling at me?" If ever you receive a text in all caps, it feels like a yell. And of course, in biblical literature, they didn't have the caps lock. So in order to emphasize something, they would repeat it over again. There's a scripture, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which simply means God is really holy. It's a form of praise. If you would use it on our with our fonts today, it would be bolded, it would be caps locked, it would be underlined, it would be italicized. Pay attention, really holy. So when you have a repeat of a miracle like this, they want you to pay attention. Now, let's look at this miracle for a second. Jesus went up to the mountain with his disciples, and they were hanging out, and the people were coming towards them. Imagine sitting there with your teacher, looking out across the valley and seeing 5,000 people plus showing up. One, you'd be super excited that this many people wanted to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I walked into church one day and there were 5,000 people, I would be shocked. And then my next thought would be, how are we all going to use the bathroom? The next question is always logistical. And Jesus' question to Philip specifically was logistical. Great, they've all come to hear the gospel of Jesus. That's wonderful. Now, how are we going to take care of them? And he asks this to Philip, that very question. And he says to Philip, where are we to buy bread for these people to eat? Philip answered that question exactly how you think that question would be answered. If I saw 5,000 people and the leader turned to me and said, Justin, I want you to feed all of them, I'd be hoping I'd be wearing a diaper on that day because the aroma would not smell good. It would be a scary thing to consider. Philip thought first exactly how we would think. 6 months' wages would not be enough for anyone to even just get a little bite. In other words, it's impossible, Jesus. I can't feed them. We can't feed them right here and right now. Can't be done. It would be a nightmare to consider doing all of it. Andrew brings a little boy forward with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And honestly, I think Andrew was not just being maybe a little hopeful, but also a little funny. I brought 5 fish for everyone. How's that, Jesus? Ha, ha, ha. This is one of those miracles in the Bible, I think one of the few that have been torn apart and looked at from every angle to try to figure out how it happened. People want to try and explain how Jesus was able to feed 5,000 people on 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I've heard lots of theories over the past. One I read from a book, totally fictitious book, and supposed to be humorous, that Jesus went to a yogi years ago and learned how to multiply rice. So he can make 1 cup of rice into 1,000 cups of rice. Of course, that's probably not the case. Heard another one. This one from seminary, totally serious. They gave this one like this was the answer, or at least one a very real answer that could have happened. That Jesus and his disciples were on a mountain, and like most mountains, they have caves. And there was a small cave directly behind Jesus that the disciples had stockpiled with food previous to this engagement happening. And as Jesus blessed the food, he raised his hands like this, and his robes covered the mouth of the opening so no one could see it. And when they were passing out food, the disciples reached behind Jesus to grab the loaves and the fish that were hiding there and then pass it out for everyone to eat. Whatever. I mean, when you try to grasp at the impossible, you come up with some crazy stuff. Then there's the other one that what had happened is that Jesus was showing them an example of sharing. He's taking what he had, and what he had was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he's shared with them. And that example of sharing also helped other people to share what they had to one another. And because they shared with one another, no one went hungry. Okay? And then the other thing is that Jesus multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We've all had that miracle happen to us at one point or another in our lives, where we've had just a little bit, and somehow everyone ate enough. What I like about this particular miracle is that it kind of stands out from all the other ones. When you think about Jesus' miracles throughout the Gospels, they're different than this one. What has Jesus done? He's driven out demons. He's healed the blind, healed those who couldn't walk, healed those who couldn't talk. He rose the dead. Anything else? Water into wine. With the exception of the water to wine one, all of the other miracles are very one-on-one. Oh, stopped a woman with her issue of blood, stopped her from bleeding. All of those miracles are one-on-one. Jesus going up to that person and healing them of their infirmity, whatever it is. This one is far more relational. It's not just a one-on-one kind of miracle. This one, Jesus invites the cooperation of all who are there. In the other Gospels, it explains how the process happened a little differently. He says to the disciples, you go and you group them into groups of, some Gospels are 50 or 100, others are 5 and 10 and 20, whatever it is. You seat them down and you take care of it. Jesus blessed the food, but it's the disciples who passed it out. John just hints at the disciples being involved in this sort of thing. The food's got to get past that some way, so we assume that the disciples and all who are there help. So the thing is, as they're grabbing the food, they realize they have more than they have. Jesus isn't just using one person for this miracle, but using the love and relationship for one another of 5,000 people. When we look at how to address a need, we think like Philip, I can't do this. And I think that was Jesus' point. Philip, you can't do this. But Jesus is saying, but together, we can do this. Together, we can feed 5,000 people without even having enough. I see churches all over the place saying to one another, we don't have enough. We can't make it last. Can't do it. Story of the loaves and the fish, the feeding of the 5,000, say otherwise. It says alone, no. With Jesus Christ and one another, yes. Sure, we can get a lot done alone. There's no doubt. By ourselves, you should not underestimate what a person can accomplish. Because it can be a lot, especially when Christ is involved. One person can do a whole lot. But we were not called to be by ourselves. Jesus called us into the body. What happens at the end of this miracle? Jesus tells them to collect all the food that's left over. How much is left over? 12 basketfuls. Now, that's a lot in of itself, although we don't know what size the basket is. But still, 12 basketfuls when you just had what you had to start with is pretty impressive. 12 is also the number of the tribes of Israel. I think what John was saying and the other Gospels that recorded this is that what was left is Israel. That this is what community looks like. That this is what the nation of Israel should look like. Gathered together, relying upon the provisions of God. Those provisions are able not only to meet our needs, but able to meet them with abundance. I like this particular miracle because it reminds us that God just not only works with us as individuals, but continues to use us as a group. that we, Trinity United Methodist Church, have enough through Jesus Christ and with one another to do ministry for Trafford, to do ministry wherever we are, to serve the needs of those who are around us. But when we stand together, that's when we shine. But I thank God for each of you and how God has used us time and time again. Close with this benediction today. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Go in peace.